I will tackle two parallel issues. On one side, the slide.
Do you want this?
Yeah. I will discuss about the role of variation and randomness in the biology and how this is functional and integral part of both evolution and ontogenesis. On the other hand, I will briefly hint to the role of randomness in the stock markets by joining the previous presentation. Darwin, probably the first, surely in the most clear way, stressed by two fundamental principles the role of randomness. The principle of heredity for Darwin, the principles are two. The first one, which is discussed in four chapters out of the first six, and extremely important, is that any reproduction has a modification, descent with modification. This first principle, which is not enough recalled, is as revolutionary as the second one, selection, that everybody knows. It's revolutionary because Buffon and Lamarck were already evolutionists. However, they thought that change was only induced by the ecosystem, while Darwin insists anytime there is a reproduction, there is a variation, maybe very small, sometimes larger. And if as breeders were his model, he refers to breeders to say that even when under cultivation people try to stabilize a species or a variety, they do not succeed because under any circumstances there will be changes and variations. Then he expresses a fantastic modernity by observing that variability is thus induced from the fact that the system, organism plus what we call ecosystem today, is extremely sensitive to any change in the conditions. The wording sensitivity to the bordering condition is the modernity that we conquered only in the 1970s. Indeed, Boltzmann refers to Darwin in his early reflections on randomness, which is very rare because usually biologists do reference to physics in order to take a model, and in this case it was the other way around. The point is that biological variability, adaptivity and diversity are functional to the very stability. In an ecosystem, diversity, which is a result also of variability and randomness, contributes to the stability, changing stability of an ecosystem. A population is more stable when it is more diverse, and this with small numbers. It is not a matter of the typical stochasticity of physics, which requires huge numbers. You may have a population of 1,000 animals in a valley. Diversity is a contribution to its stability. And in an organism, variability within an organism is functional. Our lungs have a certain fractality, the fractal dimension 2.6, that may be roughly computed as optimizing a flow of energy and matter through a surface in a volume. However, the lungs are really not with that regular fractal dimension. There are variations, and this is functional because this makes the lung of an individual adaptive to the changes in the atmosphere, as the fine fractal structure contributes to filtering air. But also in the liver, 50% of the cells in the liver have wild situation as for chromosomes. They have a polyploidy, more chromosomes than you. And this variability is not a pathology, not at all, because the diversity in the production of enzyme contributes to the stability of the function of the liver, which can react to the variety of unexpected toxic shocks. And so on, so more, even more, the immune system is grounded exactly on the capacity to produce constantly diversity. The point is that the challenge of evolutionary predictability is very peculiar. As we heard before, the idea of the approach by probability to randomness is that you must have a pre-given universe of possibilities. In physics, it is called the phase space. And indeed, in any physical theory, there is a pre-given space of possibilities, of possible trajectories, which may change from a theory to another. However, giving it a priority allows to associate always randomness to probability. This is not so when you do not know which are the next possibilities. There is no way to have today the list of phenotypes and organisms that will be possible in 1 million years. Not to mention the fact that if you put yourself 500 million years ago, in no way one could predict the possibilities, not only what's going to be, but what is maybe possible to be. So the major challenge here is to modify randomness and to put it not within a pre-given set of possibilities, like when you throw dice, there are six chances and that's all, but to set randomness at the level of the construction of the very possibilities, something that happens in the interaction between the organism and the ecosystem. Moreover, in any form of emergence in physics, like a hurricane, a snowflake, a crystal, are necessary. Under certain conditions, you will always have a hurricane, a snowflake, a crystal. Emergence in biology is not necessary. A phenotype is not necessary. There are plenty of fishes of deep sea. This one has a very peculiar phenotype. It has a lure that it uses to fish other small fishes. It's a possible phenotype. Let's move now to another area where also there is a functionality of randomness, but in very different terms. I would just stress two issues now. Namely, the fact that what's happening in the stock markets, at least since 20 years, perhaps a little more, is the role of fluctuations, of volatility. You see, the trend is the straight line in each of these rectangles. That straight line has no relevance for the gains and the losses because they are based on the fast oscillations. So when the trend goes down or goes up, it doesn't matter. There is no more the signal price because the gains are made intervening on the very fast oscillation that you see there around the trend. This destroys entirely the ancient myth of the classical liberal tradition that the price gives a signal to which the market adjusts. This is no longer true and is increasingly made false by the reality of the relevance of volatility. There's another major fact that is, of course, affecting everybody. The fact that now the value of the debt of the states is not the ultimate reference to the stability of a state itself, because it is when it's kept as a reserve in a bank, it is evaluated according to the market situation, not a facial value. This destroys a tradition that goes back to Croesus when the money was invented, where the facial values was a reference for the solidity of a state. These major changes puts the situation of the states entirely in the hands of the financial markets, where, again, fluctuations are the reason of existing. There are two more facts to be mentioned. With the deregulation, it is possible since the 80s to buy back, that is to buy their own shares, which was totally forbidden, even from an ethical point of view in the classical liberal tradition. Now it's possible. Last year, Pfizer, the major pharmaceutical industry in the United States, used 75% of the profits to buy back, to buy their own shares. This, of course, is artificial inflating of the stock values. There is also another phenomenon, which is due to the canalized stochasticity of the high standard mathematics used in the stock markets. Namely, there is an asymmetry in the distribution of gains. What happens normally is that almost everybody earns a little, a few earn some more, with a very minor role of new products and increasing productivity. Stock market is autonomous from this. But what happens is that there are rare, enormous losses. There are rare, enormous losses. So there is an asymmetry. Gains are small, but are everywhere. And instead, the losses are enormous, are concentrated. So every week, every month, there is a major financial institution, a bank, that somewhere in the world fail, and then there is a state there that has to intervene, with, of course, increasing the public debt. We don't even know that, because it's so common. Sometimes, like in 2007, 2008, this is concentrated, and then we have a phenomenon that we know, the major crisis. But this asymmetry it confirms the idea that some major business structures are too big to fail, and so there is a methodical transfer of the balanced part of these permanent gains, which is given by concentration, to the public debt. So there is a permanent transfer from the gains to the negative sign of the public debt in order to compensate, thanks to this controlled stochasticity towards enormous losses. I would like now to open a new front in view of what has been said quite extensively and in connection to my insistence on the role of randomness in biology. And this is due to the major relevance that randomness has also in ontogenesis. A way to understand this point is the relevance of the analysis we heard about the mechanicity of life, or DNA as a computer and as information, as the core notion in molecular biology, that's been distorting research in a major way. I'm sorry now to say something which is, for all of us, directly or indirectly, really a very serious matter, namely a cancer. Because what happened in the last 60 years is that in spite of the decrease of all that to the major diseases, cancer, the death of cancer has remained stable. And this together with the fact that the therapeutical success doubled, namely medicine, largely because of technologies, operation with laser, very early detection, and also a clinical experience like in chemotherapy. Medicine has been really doing fantastic miracles and success, doubling the therapeutical success. Yet the death toll is constant. If you have time in the discussion, I will go into this, which is my current interest and collaboration with cancer biologists, and try to relate it to the role of randomness. I just give you a few data in the few moments that more I have now. All those organs that are target regulated largely by the hormone system witness a major growth in cancer, as you may see in the first two lines. The most striking fact is thyroid cancer. But also another fact that you surely read in the newspapers a couple of years ago, because it was spread and that everybody is forgetting, is a dramatic change in the spermatozoa density in the Western man. In 60 years, the decrease of 50%. If we were a wild species, we would be dead. Well, you know, we keep our children alive till the age of reproduction by lots of means. There is an increasing use of artificial insemination, and so we survive to this. I will try to explain in the discussion, if we have time, how this is related largely, and there is an increasing consensus, fortunately, to the role of the 82,000 molecules that we produce in the 20th century. And they've been put in the ecosystem with a large disattention, in particular by the mainstream molecular biology, where the claim was they are not stereospecific. They don't carry biological information. They do not deprogram the genetic program because they are different, they are often very small. And this is totally wrong. We can discuss this later on.